Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, how often is JewishFiction.net published, and how many stories are there in each issue? Is a prize-winning author who was born in Montreal, Canada in 1952. Her first book, Marrow and Other Stories, won a Canadian Jewish Book Award in 1999, and her novel Fields of Exile won the 2015 Canadian Jewish Literary Award. In addition, she's the founder and editor of JewishFiction.net, a prestigious online literary journal that publishes Jewish-themed fiction from around the world and is available free of charge. Dr. Gold received her BSW from McGill University and her MSW and PhD in social work from the University of Toronto, and at one time was a tenured professor of social work. She's now the writer-in-residence and an associate scholar at the Center for Women's Studies and Education at the Ontario Institute for Studies and Education, University of Toronto, where she coordinates the Wonderful Women Writers series. She spoke with us about her own writing and JewishFiction.net.
Hello, Linda. Thank you for including me in your program.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us. I was wondering if first you could tell us a little bit about your own background, where you're from, your education.
Well, I'm originally from Montreal, Canada, which is a bilingual province, which immediately got me very interested in language and other cultures.
I noticed that you have a bachelor's, master's, and PhD in social work.
Right.
So how did that come about, and how did you happen to come to writing?
Oh, well, I always wrote. Actually, I wrote even before I knew how to physically write on paper. I mean, I was sitting and making up stories when I was 3 and 4 and 5 years old and telling them to people. So it's more a matter of the decisions I made academically were never in opposition to writing. I was always writing. And the same way you go to elementary school and high school, you know, someone from my background, well, what are you going to do in university? Actually, I very much wanted to make Aliyah, and I was in Jewish studies. And when I went to the Zionist office and I said, you know, I have a degree in Jewish studies and I want to make Aliyah, and they sort of laughed at me and said, really, Israel does not need another Jewish studies undergraduate. And I had been doing volunteer work over the summer with what was then called Golden Age, with old people who are probably about the same age I am now. And I fell in love with that work and wanted to do more of it. And so that's how I got into social work. And the only time I wasn't writing was during my doctorate, because it was such a steep learning curve, learning about research and stats and reading hundreds of pages a day, and I just couldn't do anything else. But other than that 2 or 3 year period, I've always written.
You talked about being interested in languages and in different cultures. Do you speak Yiddish? Because there are references to Yiddish in your books, and I was just wondering.
Oh, I'm delighted that you know my books.
Yes, I read them.
Thank you. I love Yiddish. My father's first language was Yiddish, and he was a Yiddishist. I guess if there was any ideology, he was much more a Yiddishist than a Zionist, and you know about those language wars back then between Yiddish, et cetera. And I was very close to my grandmother who spoke Yiddish. So I have a fair comprehension of Yiddish. I certainly couldn't speak it fluently. But when I was in college, I was in Dora Wasserman's Gruppe, the Yiddish drama group, which was, I think, one of the very few or very first Yiddish theater groups in North America. And there were things happening in New York and Montreal, and I think that was pretty well it. And I also studied Yiddish at university. I loved Yiddish. I learned the language, and I also studied Yiddish literature. And in the journal that I created and run, I actively seek out literature in different languages, including Yiddish, which is hard to find. But we've actually published a fair bit of Yiddish, including Avraham Karpinovich's book.
Yeah, I was going to mention to you, I don't know if you noticed, but we just had two programs with Helen Mintz, who translated.
I did. I got so excited. First of all, I know Helen. And secondly, I published one of the stories from Vilna My Vilna in issue number 5. We published The Red Flag, a wonderful story. And I actually met Helen because I gave a book talk at the Vancouver Jewish Literary Festival, and she was presenting, talking about translation issues in that book. So, yeah, it was delightful to see that interview. It was so interesting.
We mentioned your novels, the two novels. There are certain things I noticed that they have in common. I don't want to get into too much detail because, you know, I don't think that that would be really fair to our listeners because I don't want to give anything away. But I noticed that even though there's like a 25-year age difference between both protagonists, they have a lot in common. They're both Jewish women. They're both from Canada. They both have very strong ties to Israel. And they seem to have certain similarities to each other with regard to their relationships with other people, especially men. And I was wondering if there's anything autobiographical in them.
Well, that's a question I'm often asked. Actually, before these two novels, I published a book of stories called Marrow and Other Stories, which won a Canadian Jewish Book Award. And that was written 1998, it was published. I think there are certain elements of commonality between me and some of my protagonists, not all. I think the main thing that I have in common with the protagonists of those two novels and some of the women in the stories in Marrow is that I love Israel, and that seems to seep in. You know, writing, I think real writing is not a conscious process. I mean, there's a conscious element, and there's certainly an act of consciousness at work when one edits. But the actual spilling out of your heart, which is in the first phase of the work, I don't think one has a whole lot of control about what one's deepest issues, passions, and so forth are. So insofar as I am a Canadian Jewish woman and who loves Israel, certainly there are similarities there. And I'm also attracted in people and in life to complexity and challenge and nuance. I don't find it interesting to think about very simple characters or simple questions that have simple answers. I'm drawn to complexity and depth, emotional and psychological, spiritual, philosophical depth. So my characters have these elements. I was asked to speak about Fields of Exile actually yesterday here in Israel. I gave a lecture that was videotaped, and I was asked this exact question about that book and me. And really, I don't move in the world, so to speak, the way these women do. I don't respond emotionally the way they are. I'm just a very different person. My relationships are different. My reactions are different, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I think it's a very natural impulse among readers to want to know what is true, so to speak, and what is not true, what is fictional. Certainly in the time we live in, the issue of facts and fake facts and all of that, fake truth. But of course, truth isn't facts. I mean, there's an interesting quotation, and I don't remember where it's from, but about how one has to lie. One has to lie to tell the truth. I mean, fiction is, of course, not true. The things that happen in my books haven't happened to me. So they're not true and they're not autobiographical. But of course, they reveal deep truths about the things that I care about and worry about and treasure in the world.
Well, novels are not supposed to be true. I mean, it's not the same as the news, which is supposed to be true. You know, it's not the same thing.
Yes, it is supposed to be true. That's right. But I think many people who read novels read them, especially if they have certain commonalities. I mean, someone who's reading a novel written nowadays by someone of their own general culture often takes a leap towards seeing autobiography where it doesn't exist. You know, sometimes I just think about, you know, Shakespeare. Who went around saying that Shakespeare was Hamlet, you know, that this was autobiographical, or really he was Lear, or really, et cetera, you know, he was Macbeth. I mean, of course not. But when you're reading a novel by a contemporary writer, and the characters are the same gender, although what I'm writing now, most of the characters are men, so that may happen less. But I think there is a tendency to say, oh, you know, this actually happened to her. And the things in my novels haven't happened to me. They haven't.
No, I think that the reason that I ask that is because I read both of them. And mm-hmm. I noticed certain similarities, even though there's a very big age difference between the two women, but mm-hmm. I noticed certain similarities in them, you know, and that was basically the reason that I asked. But anyway,
no, I think it's a good question. It's an interesting question, actually.
So yeah. You started to mention what you're doing now. Can you tell us about what you're working on now?
Yeah, it's something different than I've ever done. I won't go into too much detail because I'm still in the middle of it and it's still evolving. I'm not even sure exactly of the length, whether it'll be a novella or a novel. It involves a number of characters who are thrown together. They're all strangers to each other and something happens that brings them together. And it's a very inner novel in a certain way, and it's situated in a Jewish situation. So even though people keep saying to me after they read my novels, you know, why is everything Jewish? Just write, quote, a normal, meaning a non-Jewish book. Of course, calling something Jewish not normal is, you know, we could talk about that for half an hour. But yeah. I seem to, existentially speaking, always draw upon our tradition and what are the moments and situations and challenges in Jewish peoplehood that are crucial for us and that trigger things in us and that make us think or feel certain things. So anyway, this is very interesting, as opposed to, since you've read the other novels, you know, they both revolve around really the perspective of one protagonist, and almost all the action occurs either to her or through her eyes, et cetera, mm-hmm. in terms of point of view. In this one, there are six disparate points of view. Not necessarily in conflict with each other. They're just six very inner people, very involved with their separate lives until they're brought together. So it'll be interesting. It's interesting for me to write. And I've written about men, but I've never had such a heavy weight of male protagonists in a book. I would say in this new work, I think there are four males and two females. So that feels very different. It's very interesting for me. I'm learning all sorts of things as I go along.
You'll have to let us know when it's out.
Thank you very much. I expect to have it finished in the spring. Mm-hmm. And then there's that whole process of seeking publisher, maybe agent, etc. And that can take a while, but hopefully soon. Thank you.
Tell us about JewishFiction.net. Tell us what it is first.
JewishFiction.net is an online literary journal, which is free of charge, which is actually a matter of principle for me, because I want it to be available and accessible to people of all backgrounds and ages. I founded it in 2010, and it is the only English language journal in the world, either in print or online, that is devoted exclusively to publishing Jewish fiction. So I'm quite proud of that. The purpose of this journal is to showcase first-rate contemporary writing on Jewish themes, either written in or translated into English. So we have writing that was written in English, and also stories or novel excerpts that were originally written in 14 languages, Italian, Hungarian, English, French, Russian, Romanian, Serbian, Turkish, Polish, Croatian, Hebrew, Ladino, Yiddish, and Spanish. And actually, we're delighted to have published a number of Spanish Jewish authors so far, many of whom were translated by the wonderful Andrea Leibinger. We've published Marcello Biermeier, Alicia Steinberg, Anna Maria Shua, Varda Fishbein, Maria Gabriela Mizrahi, Guillermo Saccomano, maybe others. So it's been a joy, and it's really a way of bringing together Jewish writers and Jewish readers from around the world to see what we have in common and what's unique about our different cultures. Many people have written to me to say that they really knew nothing about the experience of Croatian Jews, South American Jews, French Jews, Russian Jews. It's been an eye-opener for many people. We have readers in 140 countries. The journal is very beloved. And we're always looking for more submissions that are translated from Spanish and other languages. What we look for is Jewish-themed fiction that has already been translated into English, because unfortunately we don't have funds, translation funds. So we look for work that's already been translated into English, but not yet published in English. Of course, if it's been published in another language, including the original language, that's fine. So we've now published over 350 works, which is really wonderful. We made an effort to publish a balance between female and male writers, which would not naturally happen for a variety of reasons. So about half of every issue is women and half is men. And we've published such eminent writers as Elie Wiesel, Aaron Appelfeld, Aleph Beit Yehoshua, Savion Liebrecht, Chava Rosenfarb, many, Nava Semel, Steve Stern, all sorts of very famous writers, as well as many very fine writers not yet well known. And that was definitely an important part of creating this journal. Without going into any kind of a long spiel, basically there aren't a lot of spaces for new writing and new Jewish writing. Jewish-themed writing is fiction is seen as a niche area, which many publishers don't really feel in the current publishing climate able to or willing to accommodate. So we really want to encourage emerging and new writers. And it's, I would say 2/3 of each issue is fabulous writers you've never heard of before.
So let me ask you something, because you said that what you publish are works that have already been translated into English but not yet published in English. So in other words, someone is translating Jewish fiction with the hopes that someone will publish it. I mean, translating is not easy.
No, not at all. It's a terrible time for anybody in the literary world, actually. My heart goes out to these incredibly devoted and brilliant translators I've come across from all these different languages. Yes, you say it exactly correctly. Basically, someone translates something the same way that Helen Mintz's, you know, Vilna, My Vilna, hoping in the end to find a publisher. And before the book comes out, if we're lucky, we get to grab a piece. Sometimes we get sent the work when the person is years away from publishing. But generally speaking, translators, like authors, like to use our journal for publicity and put out an excerpt shortly before the publication of the book, which will help their book sales. But I would say that the translation element of this journal was a great surprise to me. I had no idea how exciting and joyful this whole part of the experience would be. And it really is a point of pride that, you know, I didn't want this to be a journal of American Jewish fiction or North American Jewish fiction. I wanted it to be fiction from around the world. And even in the field of Jewish fiction, I won't mention names, but there was a book that came out and the editor contacted me for my opinion about his preface. And in it, he actually said that, you know, there are two main poles of Jewish fiction in contemporary life. There's America, United States of America, and there's Israel. And I asked him if he really wanted my opinion, and he said yes. And very gently and tactfully, I explained that that is not the entire Jewish world, and there's much more to it. And I laid it all out. And actually, I was very touched that he revised his preface entirely to talk about the different nodes of Jewish life around the world and how literature reflects that. So, but I think many people, I mean, how would you get access to these things? How would you find out? How would you get hold in English as an English speaker? If you wanted to read a Turkish Jewish story, how would you even find it? Or Serbian, Romanian, Polish, you know, so Hungarian, whatever, Italian. So it's really been an education for me as we go along. You know, it's really been such a pleasure. It's really, really fantastically fun for me.
How long have you been doing it? When did it start?
I started it in 2010. So it's now only 7 years old. And of course, seven is like a Shabbat. It's a sort of mystical number.
Did you do it alone? Did you have other people working on it with you?
Well, I created it. It's my baby. I have a fabulous, fabulous group of volunteers working with me, and certainly couldn't do it without them. We have a great team of readers who assess the submissions that we receive, and we are flooded with submissions always, as you can imagine, since there are so few places to publish Jewish-themed work. And they are brilliant. They're an unbelievable team of people. We have a very impressive advisory council who I call upon quite rarely, but when I need assistance, they are great. And we have a copy editor. Everyone's on a volunteer basis, me included. This is truly a labor of love. We do a fundraiser once every year or two, basically to pay the computer guy. And by the way, I didn't say this, but all of the submissions are read through blind review completely. So in that sense, it's a very professional process, completely professional process, even though my reviewers aren't paid. And we have legal contracts that are signed with authors and translators. So we initially had to pay a lawyer, and you know what lawyers cost. But it is a completely independent journal with a really extraordinary team of people working. I think there are 9 or 10 on my team, and all of whom who love doing it. I guess at this point we have Americans, Canadians, and Israelis on the team, and really extraordinary people.
How often is it published?
At this point, we're coming out twice a year. Initially, we were coming out 4 times a year, Rosh Hashanah, Hanukkah, Pesach, and then summertime sometime. We had something like 10 per issue. And for a variety of reasons, it's just much simpler for us to put it out twice a year with 20. We have somewhere between 20, 25 per issue. So we're still putting out the equivalent of a story or novel excerpt per week. We're publishing about 50, 52 maybe stories per year, which is really an extraordinary amount. And we're very serious about what we do. So we edit the work. You know, I mean, we check every comma. We notice all sorts of errors, even in the most experienced writers. I say this as an experienced writer myself. There are things you miss or you forget, or just Jewish mistakes. You know, some of the writers don't have a very strong Jewish background, even though they have a Jewish sensibility or even Jewish commitment. They write things that just aren't accurate in terms of Jewish practice, Jewish tradition, etc. So it's actually a great deal of work. And if I didn't really love it, I certainly wouldn't be doing it, because, of course, there are only so many hours in the day, and the hours that I spend doing this, I'm not doing my own writing. But I get such pleasure from this team that I work with, and I feel that we have really created a community, not just amongst ourselves, but with all of these writers and translators. I feel that it's been a great gift to me, unexpectedly, that I have this network, and I feel part of this community of Jewish writers from around the world, almost, I would say, none of whom I knew before I started this journal.
I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there because we're out of time. Thank you very much, Nora.
Thank you so much, Linda. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSephirah.com. See you next week.